Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Drama on One is offered as a podcast at rte.ie/drama on one and, of course, here on RTE Radio 1 on Sunday nights. In a short while, we'll hear Brothers by Liam Murray. But first, we'll hear a short play, Dropping Slow, by Belinda McKeown. We're playing it in memory of our colleague, Anton Timoney, who died last month. Anton was a gifted sound engineer and producer. His mastery defined the sound of hundreds of RTE documentaries, dramas and concert recordings, and you might say he was artist in residence at the sound desk of the West Cork Chamber Music Festival at Bantry and Wexford Festival Opera too. In studio, he was an absolutely inspiring presence and he mentored so many RTE colleagues along the way. Among his recordings, the play you're about to hear. In Dropping Slow by Belinda McKeown, we meet Maeve, a woman defiantly at peace in her new oasis, a ghost estate. Starring Marion O'Dwyer and Michael Harding, and with sound design by Anton Timoney, this is Dropping Slow by Belinda McKeown.
I don't know what might grow here. Everything. Everything with life in it. The lawns on this estate could fill a hay barn for the winter by now. The thistles and the briars are partners in crime. The moss is over almost everything. Bohern at Loss, they call the place. It's not even proper Irish. But yes, it's almost there by now. It's almost completely eroded into green. When I come downstairs in the morning, the first thing I do is to step out, here, onto this thing. This oblong of paving stones that was meant to be a patio. Maybe it still is. Nobody uses it for the things you use a patio for. No potted plants, no barbecues, no toddlers on plastic tricycles. But still, who's to say they're not doing what they were made to do? These stones, what they were destined for. Destiny. A van reversing into the yard of a pub half a mile off in the distance. The sound of the mart. It's a Thursday, and if the wind feels like carrying it to me later, the auctioneer's prayer, it will. And I stand here on my patio, and I check to see, are they still there? My houses, my ghost houses. And of course they are. They're going nowhere. The long grey curve of them, standing proudly around the inlet. Solid. Dignified, despite the stains, the damp, whatever that is, bleeding from their eaves and from their windowsills. It's not their fault, is it? It's not their fault, the way they were made. Listen to me, talking pure madness. Well, I can if I want to. That's why I came. A week ago, a month ago, I don't know how long ago, Johnny, and the first day he came. I told you, I wish you wouldn't bother yourself. The house is fine. It makes no difference to me what it looks like. It's kind of you, but I don't need anything.
What she didn't need, I told her, was for her gutter to come flying off her roof and knock the head of her. That's one thing she doesn't need anyway. For starters.
Well, I don't know how you can live here, rent in here,
A place that's more rubble than it is ground. I mean, there's holiday cottages there on the other side of Drumshambo. There's people in a few of them, the odd time. Would you not be happier in one of those?
He had the measure of me even before I opened the door to him that first day. Who would willingly come to live in a place like this? Who would move here from a city? From a place full of what Johnny would call life?
Look at that moss. And look at this. They'd want to be shot, the ones that left it like this. That left it up in the first place. Cowboys and gorriers. So the whole thing will have to be knocked. And you wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind, but it's gone to nothing twice now, this place. Gone to hell twice over. I don't know what it is. Cursed.
The mountain leaning over me here, that's Arigna. And Arigna was a mountain full of coal. Every man for miles around, Johnny says, went in there as a child and came out of there when the mountain was finished with him.
You were a man around here. You spent your time in that mountain. You spent a lifetime in it. However long a lifetime might turn out to be. Every house around here was kept standing by coal dust. And when they closed the mines 20 years ago, half the houses around here shut down around us too. Nearly every last house on this piece of ground here, the people walked out of them, closed them up. So there was no reason to be around here then. Headed for the town. Headed for wherever they could make a living for themselves. The houses stood empty.
What happened to them?
What happened to anything? They rotted.
But they must have been, I mean, years later, when things took up.
Once you got away from this place, that time you didn't come back. I should have gone myself. I had no sense. Look it. Would you not let me clean this pile of stuff out of your way here? You'll break your neck in it some morning.
I've asked Johnny to tell me about the mines at Arigna. He says there's nothing to tell. I say that can't be true. 40 years spending every day in darkness in the inside of a mountain. There has to be something to tell.
And so I told her. I told her if she wanted to know how they were, she could take herself to the museum they've made out of the mines up there. Nice and clean and roomy they make them look. And fellas that worked in them, bringing women and children and all into them and making an amusement out of them. Out of the gobs and the hutches and the rat holes we lay in. Water building up around us. And we chipping away at seams of coal the width of your fingernail there. And that's an amusement now. So I told her. I told her what there was to tell. And she said,
I think it's wonderful that people can get some sense of what it was like.
What it was like?
Well, what was it like?
Thank you.
Can you hear it?
What do you mean?
The mart. They've started up at the mart.
Ah, that owl nonsense. Look it, would you not give yourself something else to listen to up here? Would you not put on the radio itself, or the television, or something? The quiet. It'd drive me mad.
He wants to forget two things, Johnny. The silence of a pitch-black mine, and the sound of that silence being blasted wide open. The spats when they blew, to get deeper at the seams. And then nothing. The mountain scrubbed bare from the inside out. The places around it where families had rooted themselves, scrubbed bare too. And here we are.
Nothing to it. An ugly nothing. Tear it down and start again. Give it some kind of life. Sure, it deserves some kind of life.
What I can't explain to Johnny is that I think this is life. That this place is not nothing. That's the thing. That's the thing they forget. The place breathes. Places do. You watch a place coming to be. Not just growing to be itself again. Not just that. That's not it. You know what happens. Ghost. So cheap. Do you think it's less the day here than it is somewhere else? Do you think that?
Come on now. When the winter comes in, there's better places for you to be around here than this. I know this neck of the woods. I'll find you somewhere to be.
Listen to it, Johnny.
Ara, there's no point in listening. Sure, there's nothing here to hear.
Listen to it, Johnny.
Ara!
Just listen.
That was Dropping Slow by Belinda McKeown. Marion O'Dwyer played Maeve. Michael Harding played Johnny. Sound supervision was by Anton Timoney. The dramaturg was Jesper Bergman. And the broadcast coordinator was Margaret Hayes. Dropping Slow by Belinda McKeown was produced by Kevin Brew.
Natalie Radmull Quirk doing the honours there with the announcements. Dropping Slow by Belinda McKeown also featured the recordings of Chris Watson, and the recordings from the Origna Mine were by Peter Woods. And all of us in Drama on One fondly remember Anton Timoney, who, as you heard, recorded Dropping Slow. Eriesh Day, Gareva Onam.
rta.ie/drama-on-one